The regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District is now in session. Dr. Arigbe, if you'd be kind enough to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. We're so honored with your presence here, Senor.
Oops, I'm sorry. Our flag is in right to color, please encourage and firm faith to lead us that our pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In the interest of harmony, we'll dispense with the roll call. The Chevins, there's four directors present. Director Pelos, excuse, I understand, Mr. Chevins, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
There's a second. Somebody made the motion, but Director Pelos seconded. So all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Moving on to public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. The Board of Directors may allow additional input during the meeting. However, a 3-minute time limit. Remarks is requested. I don't have any cards requesting public comment. So it appears that there isn't any interest in public comment. So I'll move on to the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, there's several corrections to the. We have three sets of minutes here. The first, there's on page 11,821, the first page of the June 7th meeting.
Yes, sir.
At the bottom, it says he also requested to include an addendum to the urban water management plan to address requirements of SB and ensure that water conservation is better included as a part of the urban water. I'm sure it's already included, but adding a word or something, maybe better is not the right word, but on the second set of minutes on June 13th,
what's
on page number 11,833, this is the closed session meeting, and it shows me attending, and I was in D.C., so I should be recorded as absent.
I don't have 830.
And that vote that was taken, it shows...
It's beyond
11,833. It's
beyond the divider. Oh, it's beyond the divider. Okay.
It's the two-page agenda.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they were. It actually has Ed as not present.
They have been up there.
For switch.
Well, there was no vote. I mean, it says Director Chavez arrived here for the closed session, but this is a vote on the adoption of the agenda. And it has me adopting, voting the... vote to adopt the agenda, and I should be down there as absent. That's page 11,833. I was in D.C.
So not a certain
thing. The final correction is the last set of minutes, page 11,836. That's, I think, the more, well, this last error was important, but also... about in the middle of page 11,836, it says Director Robinson stated he would dissent on the approval of the budget since he believes the foregoing proposed additional staff positions would put the district it should be a worse position as regard to OPEB, because if you have more employees, you have more OPEB. So it should be in a worse position. And then insert a sentence. because I stated it, and if you listen to the tapes, I said I had no objections to spending less on professional consultants, but the savings need not be applied to increased full-time staff positions. So just adding that, is the tape good enough, or should I state that sentence again? He has no objection to spending less on professional consultants, that savings need not be applied to increase full-time staff positions. So changing the word better to worse position is part of...
Well, this is an accident.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, so you're adding a sentence?
Yeah, I wanted to add a sentence. I mentioned that, and it's on the tape, that I didn't have any objections to. So with those corrections, let's vote.
So noted. Okay, very good. All in favor with the minutes as corrected by Director Robinson?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Demands from General Counsel, Mr.
Yeah, we have a couple of demands to note here. Total demand is, of course, 1.45, almost $1.46 million. The largest amount of that is a payment to Metropolitan for deliveries in May. And some of the other demands to note, we've got payment number 3, our tax is due to Tollers and Sons, $1,678,557. Civic Tank and Construction is 1B. Total paid to date, including this payment, is about $1.2 million out of a $1.9 million contract. We're 64% done.
Do you read off the?
I'm sorry, read off the. I just have some notes here for the demand.
$16,232
is the Civic Tank. I'm just kind of going through and noting the top five largest. 16,246, that's for engineers, almost 130,000. The majority of that, about 80,000, is done for project management support and recycled water programs. 16,211 is a partial payment on the pump package for package 2. A little over $63,000. That is a pre-purchase long lead time item that the board approved at last month's meeting. And 16209, you see here, again, some expenses for the upcoming office work. $35,000 of partial payment on expenditure.
I also see $12,000 here for Mike Mosley. The services that he billing for that we owe him, or what?
It is. This goes back to
last 6 months.
Yeah.
We haven't paid him for 6 months.
We haven't paid him for 6 months, I guess.
The partial payments to him, and closing out part went back through, and the invoice for a lot of the work is
done. Okay.
We'll make sure that doesn't happen again, Mr. President.
That would be good. That would be good. You snooze, you lose. Okay.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, the general manager already explained my question on 16,209. I wish to vote against that. 16,227, office plans and design, does that involve the new facility as well?
It does, yes.
Okay, I'll vote against that. Also, 16,245 as well. Those are three.
245?
Yeah. Good. 227 and 209.
And 245, okay.
And what's the 208 partial payment for? That involves the new building as well, right? I'll go against that one as well.
It does.
And regarding the new building, I don't know whether it's come up in any committee, but maybe we need to hire an appraiser to find out what this current building is worth. You can put it on the market to get a bid to find out what it's worth, but there are special appraisers that appraise special properties like government buildings and stuff like that. I mean, you can get an appraiser to do a job like that, but you probably have to contact the California Appraisal Association and find out, because there's not a whole lot of people that appraise government buildings for the, but if you contacted the Appraisal Association, they can probably give you 3 or 4. It's probably not a large list of people that do that in Southern California. You might have to come 100 miles, but while we're talking about the new buildings, I wanted to bring that up as well.
So noted.
That's so noted.
Anything else on the demands of General Account? Nothing. All in favor, signify aye. With Director Robinson dissenting to his. Is there 4 items, Director Robinson?
4 items.
Okay. Financial statement distributed here at the meeting, sir. You want to go through that?
Yes, briefly in summary, having just given the budget presentation and spending some time where we expect to close the year out,
no surprises. We have 1 month to go. We're through it now, but we don't have the accounts posted yet. So this is our financial statement through May, and you see the net reserve activity for operations about two-thirds of the way down the financial summary, about $2.2 million in the black, and still about $4 million behind in the collections, just a cash flow issue, reimbursement from the State Revolving Loan Fund. That's the net payments due to capital outlays, and the difference between those two is about $1.8 million. So through May, we'll have used about $1.8 million for operations and capital.
Which is what percentage of what we had indicated we're going to use?
It is about 30%.
About 30%?
Yeah, 30-35%. We were on track. We had a budget of $5.5 million.
Good. Any questions for the general manager? Okay. So, I don't believe there's any voting to be taken on this.
Steven file.
Moving on to action item number 8, discussion regarding large landscape irrigation efficiency program. That's Director Robson's committee.
Yeah, the minutes of the meeting is in the package. We discussed this in great detail at the last conservation committee, and the conservation committee agreed that we ought to do this, and I so move.
Second. Okay, any other discussion? If not, entertain a motion.
I moved.
Okay, very good. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item B, discussion regarding Rosemead Extension Recycled Water Pipeline 1 and 2, customer retrofit project, and I went to the admin committee. Mr. Rice.
Typically, they have a quorum. Basically, set up to the full floor for consideration.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
What we have here is the recommendation of award of a public works construction contract, just under $413,000 to T.D. Roberts. And this is for the retrofit that's actually hooking the recycled water pipe up to the customers on the Rosemead extension. So, pretty competitive bid, well below the second responsive bidder, Paris and Thomas. So, we're going to both feel a good value here. T.D. Roberts has worked for the district before, so we've got people contractors.
Yeah. Any discussion on this item, gentlemen? Sir?
Yeah, it shows we have table 2, which shows the breakdown of the 13 bid items.
Yes,
I'm just puzzling through those 13 items. My first question is, could the staff quantify the PLA's impact on these estimates? So at the last meeting, I think we approved a project labor agreement for Orange County that's supposed to apply to everything over $125,000 or something like that. Well, this is over that, and I was just wondering what if you quantified the impact of the PLA. I know you can't do it in detail, but I just.
Short answer is there is no impact to this contract. This contract was put out to bid prior to the board approving the PLA. So the PLA will be part of future bid packages, and those contracts will be subject to those terms. There's one for the substitute PLA.
Okay. So my request would be for future bids. I want that item addressed.
Is that a motion, Director Robinson?
No, it's just a statement for the minutes, for the record.
I'll move to approve the item.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there a second on this?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. All right. Moving on to the next item, which is item, and I lost my page. C, discussion regarding renewal of the federal lobbying contract for Trotman Sanders Strategies. And there wasn't a quorum on the admin committee, so it's been deferred to the full committee. Is that correct, Dr. Chairman? Mr. Chapman?
Trotman Sanders, obviously, is the district's lobbyist in D.C. $6,000 is for monthly fee. very grounded group, very experienced group when it comes to water issues in D.C. Worked very well with USGR as well as our congressional delegation and Army Corps of Engineers. Back there twice, very well organized, productive time in D.C. and made progress, particularly Santa Fe Dam. So pleased with the service and pleased to recommend the board renewing contract for another year.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, oh, sir.
I think you just have a motion, no second.
There's no second?
There's no second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, everybody's good. If you're in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, now we've got an item discussion regarding the districting process. We might take action on this item, I understand, even though it says information, but we might take action. So, Mr. Who wants to take this part about
this? I can take this. This is, as you know, by statute, the districts such as upper districts have to revisit their divisions after every decennial census. And staff got a report from National Demographics Corporation, which is, who are expert in this. They're out of Claremont. They've done a lot of work with special districts. And the statute requires that all the divisions' populations be as equal as practicable, which, of course, gives some wiggle room, and also within the confines of the Voting Rights Act. And so the National Demographics has prepared a report that reaches some conclusions about population deviation that essentially conclude that in terms of population deviation, that there are no reason to go ahead and redraw the divisions because the populations they think are within them, the differential that the courts have acknowledged would be acceptable. In terms of the Voting Rights Act, they did conclude that there may be an issue there about some geographically compact areas that would need to be looked at, and my recommendation would be to allow me to contact them to explore this a little further to see what they plan to do and what their opinion is. And this, because the report is a little hastily drawn and wasn't as thorough as we'd like it to be, and I'd like to just follow up and get some conclusions on that.
Gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I was in the last week of September in the year 2000. I don't know how many people in the room know this, but the district was hauled into federal court, and the Department of Justice was moving the federal judge that the upper district not be allowed to participate in the November 2000 election because we were charged with fracturing the Hispanic community. And I think it was our one of the sides, I don't know whether it was our side or there, was moving that we maintain the status quo. And the judge said, well, by canceling the election, the federal judge decided that that maintaining the status quo would require upper district participating in the election because I think there were Hispanic candidates in divisions 2, 3, and 4, and to see what the results of the election and see where we are. Well, the bottom line is the Department of Justice and court supervision under that pressure, upper district established this map and established in divisions 3 and divisions 5 were, according to the law, created so the Hispanic population would have better representation. Well, this data, if you look at this table on the second page, it shows division 3 and 5. I would prefer that we not mess with that and to leave those lines in place. I also would prefer that because we can maintain our current divisions, that we should
we should do that. I don't want to mess with this because we're under Department of Justice supervision. So I move that we just adopt the existing plan as is. Our consultant fees will be zero, and it's a legal plan, and we just ought to go with it. I also, when I voted on the budget, we just saw in the minutes, I recommended that we reduce our expenditures on consultants. Well, here's $50,000 that we can save just by readopting our current plan, and we don't have to hire any new employees or anything to do this. All we have to do is take the data, and I believe this is good data. It shows we're in compliance. Let's go with it. So that's my motion.
Purpose of discussion, I think this is an item that I will second that motion so we can have some discussion on it. I see Director Reyes, you wanted to make a comment.
Well, I would like to have our council just tell us how serious the VRA Voting Rights Act claim is here, and if we have to follow that.
Yeah, the Municipal Registry Act says after every decennial census, we shall, by resolution, adjust the boundaries. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't prevent us from setting the boundaries as status quo. But we have to revisit and look at it.
And I agree with Director Robinson. You know, I think that we just went through this process about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when the Justice Department asked us to change the boundaries to reflect the Latino population. And so at this point, we are within the guidelines. We are meeting, we're complying with the population. We're complying with the population of our respective districts. I have the largest district, but you know we're still in compliance. And so I concur with Director Robinson. I think we ought to leave it as is and see what comes out of it. We can certainly talk about it some more if that's the board's pleasure. But I think we ought to just accept the recommendation and move forward.
I also didn't mention that the Registrar of the Recorder's office was in the court that day and said, Your Honor, I have to have a decision because the ballot material has to be printed for November and I have to know whether to keep Upper District in or throw us out. And we would have had to bear the cost of a special election. So, I mean, that was a can of worms and I learned a lot from that. And the law says that we would have to redistrict if our boundaries showed a differential of 10% or greater. Well, they don't show that. So let's just save money and go with our existing plan.
Hold on. There's a couple of people that want to say something.
But now would be the time you have a motion and it's been seconded. The item is open for debate, so you can take comments.
David, I'm sorry.
I don't have any conclusive opinion, but I would suggest the argument on the second page that the Asian American population might be considered, I can't tell really from looking at this map where I do know that I attended a couple of hearings of the Citizens Leadership Commission that the Asian American community was very forceful regarding requisitions and state legislatures. Now, my they don't care about legislatures. The other possibility is that they, so far have overlooked these issues. But I have an idea that they won't overlook them. They may not overlook it in the next few months, let me say it a different way. You may find in the next few months that they come to you and say, hey, you need to take a look at possibly. I'm not out of your board here, but just kind of alerting you to the fact that this actually happened. And so I think it might be advisable, regardless if you decide to change district boundaries or not, to at least have looked at that, to have a reasonable answer to them. At that point. well, I don't know, there might be some people in the general community who think, well, close to 10% is talking about 10%, maybe it should be a district. So, anyway, I just thought that was some ideas.
Mr. Brown?
Yes. The demographers made a horrendous mistake in 2000. They didn't take precinct or block data. They used tract data only. And that's a big shortcoming of the demographers. As an engineer, I understand the difference in things. And when the district was cited in federal court, saying that they don't have two Hispanic districts, for me, it was just a simple matter to give the district about three different alternatives. Merely by using block data, and that's a smaller division. And that smaller division, and one of the things I've suggested, and as I've also suggested to this current commission, that you use city boundaries. You make any change at all, it's a city boundaries usually reflect differences in customs, background, and racial differences. And the Department of Justice is using racial differences as a criteria against the other district. So the other district board, after they were findings, took the data for about three different alternate plans I presented with minor changes going along the city boundaries. That's the easy way to answer any of these complaints, is just get the raw data out and see an adherence of more city boundaries. And the best example was between West Covina and Baldwin Park. They've gone up a straight line. It was an old track boundary going back maybe 50 years. And it didn't reflect what had happened in various little neighborhoods along the boundary line. Because they're doing that and changed about 3% of registration. And this Justice Department couldn't be checked anymore. So that's, you've got a lot of things at the last moment to. But right now, it's too early. Unless you wanted to have the demographers do what they normally do, which is go along the old track boundaries, that'd be a waste of money, very frankly. It's going along city boundaries where it's been historic reflection, and what and people adhere to the city boundaries. And there's big differences between, like, West Covina and Baldwin Park. And that's is along also the southern end of West Covina, Valencia Heights. County neighborhoods. And that's one of the things is that when you keep cities together, the big thing that conflicts and allowing you to do things is the county districts. And you've got a lot of them in this area. And people, and I told the commission that one of the times they report population numbers don't include some of these sort of totally islands that are within a city. That complicates things tremendously. So, a city like Covina has a whole bunch of islands in it. So when you look at population data for the city of Covina, it's all skewed out because we hadn't taken the extra step of looking for the county islands. So these are important considerations that aren't normally handled by demographers over here when using a computer program. So it's a little early to hire somebody without knowledge, and I suggest now that you all understand the fact, the importance of city boundaries in doing this thing. That's one of the keys to getting good racial and ethnic representation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Any comments from the board?
Well, I'm a little confused with the whole process. So the motion is just to dismiss this and just stick with what we have, right?
This is a reputable, busy consultant. The guy has more work to do than he can possibly do, and more people knocking on his door. And I trust the data, and the data is here in front of us. And I don't want to spend a bushel of money trying to come up with a perfect plan. This is a reputable consultant, NDC, and this is good data, and I want to rely on the data and just readopt our existing situation and move on.
Okay, I'm most confused because you said in statute there's a specific way we're supposed to do this, correct?
We are supposed to revisit it, and if the board chooses to go ahead and just maintain status quo, we'd have to adopt, we'd have to do a resolution, so it'd be another step. It'd be a resolution declaring status quo. But this is a report, the first report you got on this issue, which I think Director Robinson is essentially moving to accept this report.
Yeah, I trust the data. I think it's a good consultant.
Okay, I'm completely confused.
Ferociously busy right now.
So we're still going to have to revisit the redistricting.
You'll have to take some other action. I'm pursuant to a resolution.
Pursuant to a resolution.
Right.
Okay. Well, in that next process, will we get an answer to these issues that are raised? My question, Director Robinson, in 2000, we were sued because of exactly issue, Voting Rights Act issue. What's to say we're not going to get sued again and spend hundreds of thousands?
Anybody with $100 can file a lawsuit. If there's any protest from the community, we'll just have to deal with it. But I see the existing plan is good, so that's why I moved to accept this and readopt it.
I would just like a clear, I'm fine with adopting the same districts, but I see an issue that we have to be careful about.
Well, we have
to take into more consideration. I wouldn't mind even just having this company that did this for us to come and answer a question. Because it's the VRA, that Voting Rights Act, if it's just a flag, we really don't have to, legally don't have to take a position on it, at least we can say we looked at it, reviewed it. But then another thing that's not listed on here is there's not a breakdown of demographics by district. So what is it to say that maybe, Division 1 and 2 are pretty much close to meeting that Voting Rights Act issue, and that's fine, well, at least we looked at it. We have evidence to dispute any claim of being sued or... Yeah, I just wanted a more clear process. I feel this is not as transparent.
Maybe this would help. This is your consultant's first look at this issue, and this is the analysis of whether or not you're in compliance with the population deviation and Voting Rights Act. So he reaches some conclusions. You have a statutory obligation to revisit every 10 years and adopt a resolution with regards to this issue. So if it's the board's pleasure and it comes back before the board, the resolution could say something like, after review of the boundaries and consideration of population deviations in Voting Rights Act, it's the board's conclusion by this resolution, we're going to maintain status quo, and that will be before the board.
Okay.
Any other discussion on this? There's a motion and a second. And why don't we do a roll call, Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay. Moving on to items E, discussion regarding nested plans within the greater LA County Integrated Regional Water Management Plan.
Yeah, a quick presentation and follow up to your board's discussion last month on the approval of the Integrated Resources Plan and Water Management Plan. Easter eggs there. I know
illustration in general of this concept, this notion of all of these various plans that we continually talk about. The largest sort of circle there, LA Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, that's done on a watershed basis. We'll go over exactly what that is. Sitting inside of that plan is each agency's urban water management plan. Ours just adopted this past month. That's a requirement put on us by the state. We're now entering into a process of optimizing that urban water management plan. Today, our urban water management plan says we will continue to purchase water from the Metropolitan Water District, and we will meet our SPX 7 goals and do some recycling. We're going to go into a much more in-depth process with the Integrated Resources Plan. Talk a bit about that. Oftentimes, what you see a water agency do once they have set forth their Integrated Resources Plan and optimized their portfolio of water supply resources is all or some combination of those other holes in there, the Easter eggs, I call them. Most importantly and first for us has to be the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan approved by the board just recently. I see most importantly and first for us because it has such a large potential impact on both the Integrated Resources Plan and any additional plans and work that we do. So we certainly wouldn't want to develop a facilities master plan without really understanding what our water demand is going to be and how we can temper or reduce that water demand out in the future through water use efficiency conservation measures. Groundwater optimization, a very general term there, there's a lot of different vocabulary thrown around in the industry about how to go about studying groundwater basins, how they can be operated, reoperated, optimized. We may find coming out of the Integrated Resources Plan that if there is support from the Water Master and this board and the producers to all come together and work on a process to really study in depth how we can operate the main San Diego Basin differently. And then, of course, many agencies do a facilities master plan. If, for example, our Integrated Resources Plan tells us that we need to make a major additional investment in direct reuse recycling, but we need to be very smart about that and study that very carefully because there's going to be a significant capital cost involved. What pipeline alignments to take, whether we're going to do micro bioremediation or another technology. And then, of course, in the yellow, once you set forth what you're going to do over the next 10, 20 years, how is that going to be taken care of? So immediately we'll embark on the Integrated Resources Plan and the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan, and those will feed in the future the Urban Water Management Plan. Just a high level, I've got more slides at your pleasure, Mr. President.
That's the board's pleasure. Do we have enough information to talk about the final?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do okay?
Yeah, we're okay.
Get the lines just in. What's the, this is a discussion, this is no action anticipated, but we can take action. I mean, if it's the board's pleasure, I mean, what's...
We certainly could. This is just a follow-up to a question in a series of ongoing conversations at past board meetings, just to try and lend a bit of clarity to how these all fit together.
So the consultant that we hired, was it CDM?
Correct.
I mean, could we bring this situation to them and let it require an increase of their scope of work to make sure that all of this is taken care of at one time with one bill instead of doing this piecemeal with over many years?
My recommendation would not be to do that. It's almost a sequential process where you want to lay out your Integrated Resources Plan and in parallel almost to doing your Water Use Efficiency Master Plan. That's the best case scenario for us. And then if it comes out of that Integrated Resources Plan, understanding full well what the potential for conservation in the valley is, if it comes out that we have to make another major investment in capital, then you really should do a Facilities Master Plan, again, working with the producers. How much is that going to cost? What are we going to build? By when? Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to operate it? Who's going to maintain it?
Facilities Master Plan, that means whose office?
No, that would be, as an example, an expansion of the direct reuse recycling program.
It's sort of an infrastructure master plan.
As an option coming out of the IRP, the board could act to amend CDM scope and stay with them, or we could go out to bid and bring in another consultancy to work with us on that.
I think at this point, unless the board feels otherwise, we just receive and file. Right? Okay. Okay, committee reports are included in the board package. Any items removed from the consent calendar?
Moved to approve.
Okay. Second. Very good. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, abstentions, none? Information items, as noted somewhere. Attorney's report.
No report, Mr. Chair.
Engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President, and the board. You do have a written engineer's report, and I'll go through it very briefly. If you have any questions, I'm certainly available to answer those questions. The key well continues to go up. We're a little over 234 feet now at the key well. On July 1st, it was 234 even. It has gone up a little bit since then. Since the historic low back December 2009, which is on the order of about 18 months ago now, the key wells come up the equivalent of about a little over 350,000 acre feet. So we are in pretty good shape as far as putting water in the basin, and we continue to put water in the basin. Inflow from the canyon, our local water supply, it's not noted here, but what we call our recession flow, these are the flows that are still coming in after the snow melts and all the rainfall, all the rainfall stops. The recession flows are the inflows into the upper reservoirs of the canyon. We call these, the county calls them recession flows. We're still seeing about 150 CFS into San Gabriel right now in July, and that's pretty amazing. That's a lot of water still coming into our system. When you don't see any snow up on the mountains, and we're still seeing that inflow, it's a lot like the entire state. There was snow skiing in Mammoth and snow skiing in Tahoe this weekend, so very unusual. We've got about almost 60,000 acre feet in storage up in the canyons. There is an order of imported water supply. We're coordinating with both the county and Metropolitan to get the water supply into the basin, both local and imported water are being coordinated together. Rainfall closed out. We had mentioned it would be a little over 130% of average. It ended up being 133%, so we closed it out at the end of July, end of June. Water quality sampling, as the report indicates, during June, 39 wells were sampled under the Health Department's Top 22 program. During May, 57 wells were sampled, and we did not receive any notices of wells shut down due to water quality. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the water supply.
Any questions for the engineer?
Yeah, I suppose everybody knows about the fire sale, the discounted water at MEC. Have you talked to anybody? How big a purchase do you think basin interests may have under that metropolitan program?
This basin?
Yeah.
Our basin? We're probably going to expect, I think there's a little over 24,000 acre feet already spoken for by basin producers. We're going to expect that to go up around maybe 30,000 acre feet. Beyond that, I think the Water Master would be willing to, is going to be willing to pick up the rest with advanced purchases, so up to maybe 50, 60,000 acre feet. So there is a very, very strong interest, and like you can see, we're in July right now. That fire sale, we call it a fire sale, it's a replenishment rate. It's right now, it's only good through December 31st. So we've got our hands full trying to get all that water in the basin along with our local water supply. And there is an order. The general manager put an order in for a lot of water. So we're working hard to try to fill that order.
And the traffic jam for water, is it likely to limit our sales possibilities, our buying possibilities? The free water from the mountains and the purchased water aren't going to block each other out?
Well, they have to be coordinated. There is an effect. The local water supply that we have and trying to get that water in the ground, which is free, I mean, it's even better than a fire sale. It's free water. I mean, it is having an effect on our coordination, but there are a lot of people working very hard, and we're getting excellent coordination at this point from the county flood control folks, the conservation folks, to try and coordinate those deliveries with work they need to do also on the dams and vegetation removal and things. So yes, there is.
Sounds good.
There is coordination going on. We hope to have a very good year.
Thank you. Well, Steve. General Manager's report.
Yes, President, you have my written report before you. Just I will just highlight two items. Upper District did again support Solar Cup and sponsored 440 votes. And Arcadia High School placed fifth overall in the rookie division. So an impressive sign up. Also do want to make note of the annual student art contest. And you were able to get the local winners featured in Aqua News. Pretty good.
Great. Just a couple of things, Mr. Chapman. I was happy to see that you met with Citrus College on workforce development to discuss water technology program. That's something that's extremely important given the high unemployment rate here in San Gabriel Valley. And I've been meeting with them off and on also on the water technology program. I think it's extremely important. We continue to have that dialogue with them. Also, I noted that on June 18th, Director Elias took 15 guests to attend a tour of the West Basin of Water Desal Plant. And what I would like in the future is that this be made available to all directors, because I was not aware of this. And I don't want to get a call from my friends at West Basin saying, you guys are coming out here and I don't know anything about this. You've got to remember, I work for West Basin and Central Basin.
Right.
So I don't like those surprises, but it just makes me look doesn't make me look too good. So in the future, if any one director is doing anything like that, I think all of us should have an opportunity to, or be aware of it at least.
I just, not explain that, Director. I just took it upon one of my constituents, council members, asking for it. So instead of just doing it for a city, I decided to say, oh, well, let me reach out to my division. So I focus on it.
No, that's fine. I mean, I just like to be aware of it, especially when it comes to anything with Central and West Basin, since I was, this gentleman know we were very clear and
most of that
friends.
I think that's all.
We'll make a fraction of those final directors.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Metropolitan Report, I guess we received something, an email from the Director of Public Affairs.
Yeah.
So that's in the, there. Okay. Water Quality Report.
Yes, Mr. President, I wanted to report that tomorrow's legislative committee, which was scheduled July 6th, Wednesday at 1 p.m., has been moved to the week after, Wednesday, July 13th at 12 p.m.
Okay, very good. Water Master Report. I was not at that meeting, so Director Chavez, for you. Yes. Do you have anything to add?
I have no report.
Director's comments, starting with Director Chavez. Director's comments.
We did receive a certificate from the American Cancer Society for our sponsorship on the 2011 Relate for Life in the city of La Puente. It's given to the district, and I would like to present this to you, Mr. President, to do what you need to do with it.
Put it up on the wall
as a proud sponsor for the district.
Put it on the wall.
Thank the colleagues for supporting that event.
Great. Anything else, Mr. Jones? Mr. Rice? Mr. Robinson?
Yeah, I just wanted to assure Director Urias and also Dave Szymanski. I mean, I read the entire two-page report, and it does say here on the bottom, so our only voting rights concerns of the Asian American situation. And I recognize that, and the board may have to deal with that if there's any feelings from the community that we have to. But that only involves divisions 1 and 2. And if the community feels it is important, I want the community to know that we can still deal with it. So there's a possibility that when the resolution comes out, we could amend it to do a de minimis plan, which would adjust the boundaries between 1 and 2. It's not a legal requirement, and the point that Mr. Brown made about tracks and blocks,
as long as we're meeting the industry standards, I just don't want to spend a whole lot of money, public money, trying to come up with a perfect plan. So so I think the board acted as a good steward, and that we're still open to whatever feelings comes out of the community. It's expressed by Director Reyes and Dave Szymanski. So I just want that to be known, and we can deal with it if it occurs. So that's the finish of my comment.
Thank you, Director Robinson. And I have one comment. I've had conversations, and I know that there's a lot of water available right now, given all the rainfall, but I've had numerous conversations with some Native Americans regarding some water they have available. And they have between 10 to 25,000 acre feet of water that they want to wheel, they want to move. And they want us to, they want to know if this agency is interested in that water. I told them that we would be interested only if it's Tier 1 or better, because of the fact there's so much water available. They want a letter from me saying that we are interested in talking with them about this. We're not making any commitments. The letter is a very generic letter saying that we will be happy to sit down with them and discuss the possibility of us purchasing water from them or moving water from into the basin. So, Mr. General Counsel, I want to know what authority I would have as a president of the board to have a letter created and sent to them by the general manager and or myself to them saying, yes, let's sit down and talk. We're not making any commitments to you, but we are interested in having a conversation.
Sure. The general manager is fully empowered to do that as the general manager under the Municipal Water District Act. He is in charge of your waterworks operations and the operations of the district. So if it's the board's pleasure, he can engage in that conversation.
Happy to talk to you. They want to see a letter from us.
Would they be willing to beat the discounted water rate
no.
that Matt is?
Sorry.
Could we possibly maybe add an agenda item, informational, have them come and discuss it? You know, what's the
they're shopping
they
water.
We could invite them that way.
They're shopping. I told them, given the situation here at the district, go to Inland Empire, go to Central Basin, go to WRD. Our situation here at the Upper District is very volatile. But they came to us first. They want to sit down. So only the general manager is empowered to write a letter.
No, he doesn't need a letter to contact them.
No,
he has the ability to do
that. Well, they want to know that we're definitely interested. So,
yeah.
Okay, we'll let it go at that. Okay. I have nothing else. Any future agenda items? Seeing none? Are we adjourned?
Oh, new office.
Huh?
New office location next week.
I'm sorry?
New office location next week.
Yeah, new office location, yeah. 602 East
602
East 105. We'll see you there.
I've been coming here.